All Business Media presents the Professionals Roundtable. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable with Rick Delgado. Exclusively on All Business Media.
And welcome to All Business Media, where it's all business all the time. And I'm your host, Rick Delgado. And welcoming to the show right now is a lovely lady based out of Chesterton, Indiana. She is the... I guess she'd be the owner and medical director of East Wind Acupuncture Traditional Chinese Medicine Clinic. You can reach out to them by phone at 219-395-9928, or better yet, go to their website, ewacupuncture.com. That's E as in East, W as in wind, acupuncture.com. Or you can just give her a round of applause right here, right now. Let's have a nice round of applause for our guest. Let's hear it for Laura Zaransky. Laura, welcome to the show, and how are you?
I'm doing great, Rick. Thank you for inviting me to the show. I'm excited about today and hopefully getting some great information out to the listeners.
Yeah, well, cool. Well, thank you for taking the time out of your day to join us. Now, before we get started here, Laura, do me a favor and just tell everybody a little bit about yourself and exactly, you know, what you guys do over at East Wind Acupuncture.
Absolutely. Well, I'm a 19-year Chinese medical doctor here in America. I've been practicing continuously for 19 years in the little town of Chesterton. We've actually grown into one of the largest traditional Chinese medicine clinics in the United States and Europe. We see a lot of people for a lot of conditions.
Really?
Because we're focused on the purpose of health and wellness and getting people to the point of true quality of life with little to no symptoms.
Right.
And I have a bachelor's in anatomy and physiology. And then I went on to get my master's in traditional Chinese medicine, which is a four-year program.
Uh-huh.
I did that out of Chicago with the Midwest College. And I also was able to do some study in China. I did a month internship at the University of Guangzhou in southern China. And here at our practice, we work on all types of health conditions, from mental, emotional health to internal problems, which is my specialty. I specialize in internal dysfunction, GI problems, asthma, lung issues, blood pressure-related issues, fertility, gynecology. But we also work on a lot of pain, and we also treat external things like colds and flus. People don't realize how effective Chinese medicine is for these types of conditions. And I treat every age from infants all the way up to the oldest adult was 98 years old. So
that's
what we do here, using the principles of traditional Chinese medicine, which include acupuncture, herbs, massage, diet, exercise, meditation, and these two other weird things called feng shui and astrology.
Oh, the dreaded feng shui, which I believe that's the first time I've ever pronounced it correctly.
There you go.
Hey, Laura, let me ask you this, because you mentioned something very early on in your description there. I've never even heard of Chesterton, Indiana. And so the fact that you guys have grown into this, I guess, I don't know, what's the best word for it? Like a huge resource, I guess, for Chinese medicine.
I would say we really are a very accessible, working Chinese medical clinic. You know, like, we really are like a little mini outpatient clinic in China, and we treat conditions of all over. And you're right, Chesterton's a very small town, and how, you know, it's kind of interesting. We're about 45 miles from Chicago,
right,
but I rarely have people from Chicago. We sometimes get them, and we're our little town actually butts up onto Lake Michigan, the south shore of Lake Michigan, so it's a really beautiful area around here. But we are surrounded by a lot of big towns around us, but we're in a little town. And we just happen to see, like, an average acupuncturist might see about 25 patient visits a week. And we just see, we can see all the way up to, a couple hundred patients a week.
Oh, wow.
And which is just kind of not a typical kind of Chinese medical clinic. And really what that means, Rick, is it's nothing like to be like, oh, hey. It's really, for me, it's about experience, okay? You know, in America, we don't get a lot of opportunities to use Chinese medicine, or if we are, an acupuncturist might be only seeing a few patients,
right,
their experience level takes a lot longer to get to where I think I've gotten to, based on the fact of how many people I get to see every day. It just increased my experience and my expertise.
Right. Now, Laura, let me ask you this. What got you into Chinese medicine and acupuncture in particular?
While I was going through college for my bachelor's in anatomy and physiology, I was thinking about Western medicine in general. I mean, obviously, that's why I was pursuing that. But I was really more interested in things like radiology or something like that, because I came from an aeronautical engineering background, and I was very understanding that, like, to me, radiology was cut and dry a little bit, right? You know, you could see something on a thing, and then you can really see that back, where sometimes, to me, medicine started to be kind of elusive, and I started to recognize that we tend to deliver pharmaceuticals mostly in the Western medical realm. And I happened to hurt myself a lot as a kid. I was one of those Evel Knievel types. I broke a lot of bones, and I always repaired and I always healed, so I was very fascinated in that body's ability to do that. So while I was studying Western medicine, I actually started studying herbal medicine in college as well, and it really worked well from the schooling and the education I got out of only books myself and applying those theories, and it started to change my opinion about what I wanted to do with the human body.
Right.
So I wanted another system that has been able to be tried and true that I could work from that was more, in a sense, scientific realm as opposed to, like, folk medicine a little bit, right? Like, a lot of times Western herbalism is, oh, my grandma told me to take peppermint. It's good for digestive upset. Or, oh, yeah, you know, take echinacea. I heard it's good for colds. But we really didn't have good fundamental backgrounds in Western herbalism to say how it can treat as a whole system for the length of time that Chinese medicine has been around. So when I really started to investigate Chinese medicine, I realized it's the oldest standing, continually practiced medical system of scientific value in the world.
Right.
And it really fascinated me, and I wanted to learn more. Go ahead.
Yeah, with Chinese medicine, are you mainly talking about the use of herbs?
Well, you know, that's true. Herbs have actually been probably around longer than actually acupuncture, okay?
Okay.
Because herbs are actually seen first and foremost as a food source back, if you think, you know, 10,000 years ago, right? You know, we're scavenging, we're looking for things, what can we eat, what can't we eat, and they started to actually have to understand plants at an early age to find out, wow, you know, when everybody ate mistletoe, they died. But when everybody ate blueberries, nobody died.
Right.
So, you know, we have to think back to the humans, the early humans, and what they really had to deal with. So they started studying herbs at a very young age, which is part of Chinese medicine as well. And that would be the medical part of it in terms of an herb or a pharmacopoeia, right? But they also saw food as therapy. They also, again, used, you know, acupuncture later on to manipulate nerves and blood flow. So everything that Chinese medicine came from is a fundamental of how do we keep the body working optimally? What is optimum health? What does a healthy body look like? And how do we achieve that? That's what they studied, okay? Mm-hmm. So when they found herbs that caused a lot of problems in people, they was like, well, that doesn't help you if you get worse and have another symptom. We need to find something that can treat that situation but not have an unwanted side effect.
Right.
Okay? And I think, you know, for me, Rick, a lot of times as a scientist as myself, and my husband's a PhD in organic chemistry who's also a Chinese medical doctor now, you know, we're driven in the Western sciences, if you will, right? So we have all those fundamental backgrounds, and I really feel as though there's a couple misunderstood things about Chinese medicine in America because they think it's not scientific. And or we don't understand the terminology, like, what is qi, right? So it makes it sound a lot more elusive or maybe not as thoroughly thought through. But it is the Chinese medicine has studied the human body consistently and continually and kept track observationally for at least 2,500 years because we have a book that's still in existence from 250 BC, right?
Yep.
So I just beg that question to the audience here today, you know, what is science, okay? Well, if you look at the definition of science, it's observation of natural phenomenon, okay? Wow, everybody ate blueberries, nobody died. People ate mistletoe, they died, right?
Yep.
Okay, so they started to pay attention to that. When people did this, this happened. When people did this, this happened, and they continued to do this, and then over time, so we've got observation of natural phenomenon, it comes next to a theory, okay? So based on what you see every day, that the apple always drops down, then our theory is that everything is going to drop to the ground, right?
Right.
So how do we reproduce that and prove it? Well, how we reproduce something and how we prove something doesn't come to medical technology or modern technology. It helps, but it's not the only thing. So what's happened now, I believe, is that we've come to equate science with medical technology or modern technology, when reproducibility can come from clinical observation, you know, that thing happening over and over. If you've had something happen every time for 2,000 years, you can pretty much start to say that's true, right?
Yeah, so, pretty much,
so that,
yeah.
That is science, right? And now the cool thing, Rick, is that the theory, which I call Chinese medicine macrophysiology, okay?
Okay.
That means the big picture of the way that the human body works, okay? Where today what we study is microphysiology. What's coming out of that cell, right?
Right.
What's going on in the inside of that? So we have the big picture of how the human body works, and that is why today, with all the modern technology that we have not discounted Chinese medical theory. We've actually proven it in every situation that we can, from MRIs to blood work to clinical observation to pharmacopoeia, which now most of our drugs, if almost all of them, have come from an herbal counterpart and a base.
Right. Now, in terms of, you know, with the Chinese medicine, and again, it's from my understanding and the way I've seen things also kind of play out, too, that it's starting to gain more acceptance in, you know, right here in this country as well, right?
Absolutely. And again, you know, Rick, you know why? Because it has clinically observational, good clinical outcomes, okay? So even though they can't prove everything, even though we can't prove every single thing we know about it,
right,
they cannot deny, nobody can deny what the clinical results are, okay? So that's why even Western medicine is starting to become, you might hear the catchphrases and terms, functional medicine, and that is, even though we can't prove something on a test or something like that, doesn't necessarily mean that it doesn't have a way to observe it or clinically observe it or find an outcome from it. And a lot of doctors are going into this kind of functional medicine, which really looks at how the body works physiologically. What are the basic components? Oxygen, water, and food.
Right.
Okay. I mean, if we discount those basic chemicals that are necessary for normal day-to-day physiology and pretend that they don't matter, then we actually are very naive. But the Chinese have always known that.
Right.
So if you aren't doing those things fundamentally well, you can't expect good fundamental physiological outcomes. And eventually, just like a bank account, you can't keep taking out more than you can use if you don't replenish it, right?
Yeah.
So we as the Western world, we're like, you know, that weekend warrior, do it until you die and then try to recover then, right?
Right, yeah, exactly.
The Chinese tried to find better balance with that so you didn't get to the crashing point or die early.
Right. Now, how have you been able to utilize, say, acupuncture and Chinese medicine to help, you know, people that reach out to you? I mean, what are some of the things that you can use that for?
We can use it for a lot of things. And first of all, it can treat any condition of the human condition, okay? Because as I was talking earlier, and even the listeners, if they want to hear a little bit more about all of that, is our other podcast, too. We talked a little bit about that, and I'd refer them to there as well. But we can treat almost anything of the human condition because Chinese medicine is not trying to counter the disease. It's trying to increase the optimization of the human physiology, normal physiology, and normal function, okay?
Right.
So what they did is, okay, what do we need? We have to have good, proper nerve function and nerve flow. We have to have good, proper blood quality, which means what's in your blood, like your oxygen and your nutrients and your toxins and your waste and water. And you also have to be able to circulate blood to every living cell, so it has to be able to move, and it can't be too thick and it can't be too thin, right?
Yep.
And then we have to have our organs working optimally. The organs need to be able to work in a functional way, get those oxygen and nutrients in, extract them into the human body, and then circulate them to every living cell. Your brain would not work correctly if you couldn't get blood to it, okay? So Chinese looked at, how do we optimize all of those systems? And acupuncture comes into play because it calms the nervous system,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Right.
It regulates the flow of blood. It actually puts your body into a state of ease, or what we call the parasympathetic function, which is calm systems. And when you're calm, that's where normal digestion occurs and normal extraction of nutrients, okay?
Okay.
So that's the benefit of acupuncture, is it's calming, it's regulating, it moves chi and blood, it's going to move more oxygen and nutrients around the body. But if you still put in McDonald's every day and you smoke cigarettes and you deplete yourself of good oxygen and good nutrients,
right.
okay, then all we're moving around with acupuncture is not the best quality of blood. So they're going to look at what you're eating. They might make changes in your diet. Mm-hmm. We might go to herbs, okay, right, because that might help to go faster to the organs to get them working better with nutrients that are helpful to them and not harmful.
Right.
We might use body work, massage therapy, chiropractic, physical therapy for structural integration. And we also look at techniques of how to stay calm and be calm, and that's called meditation. And they've practiced those for longer than acupuncture. So acupuncture came later in the medical model when they started to realize they needed more things than just preventative like oxygen and nutrients, but they might really need to move the blood, move the nerves, and do that. And they did it first through pressure, and then they found out that puncturing worked better and it had more clinical outcome effects. So we use every part of that, Rick, in everything I do. I'm not just an acupuncturist, but that's what Americans see us as.
Right.
I use every aspect of traditional Chinese medicine in the ways that are appropriate for the condition that's at hand. If I have a child who's 2 years old, I might only need to change their diet.
Right.
Okay? But if I've got a 45-year-old who's extremely deficient, I might have to use every aspect of TCM.
Right, because the goal is to get the body, you know, to optimize the body's own healing power, right?
You're absolutely correct. And because of that, Rick, right, so we can theoretically treat almost any condition because no matter what we do, if you circulate more blood around your body, it's never going to make you feel worse.
Right.
Okay? Except for sometimes when you bring blood to a trauma area, it can throb for a bit, right?
Yeah.
But that's to help it to heal, but it can temporarily cause a discomfort. But because we can treat almost any human condition, we're always going to potentially improve somebody's health. But if we've got somebody like with Parkinson's or multiple sclerosis, something that's very challenging and very, very dysfunctional at that point, the amount of time, energy, that it would take potentially to come back could be very slow or possibly impossible. So I'm not here to say that we can cure everything, okay?
Right.
But I've even helped patients in those conditions live a higher quality of life with better symptom management. My average patient, though, we can work at the point of complete reversal where their body is functioning normal without medications, where they're eating a healthy life that can sustain them. And we actually do, we're results-oriented, so we do clinical tracking of every patient we have by statistical analysis and tests that we can measure, like blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes, et cetera.
Wow.
So we treat everything here.
Yeah.
I mean,
And it's all out of a little town called Chesterton, Indiana. Again, a town I never heard of, but you guys seem to really be on the forefront of, restoring health naturally, especially through the use of Chinese medicine. We're talking to Laura Zaransky. She is the owner and medical director of EWacupuncture.com. That stands for East West Acupuncture. Reach out to them through their website, EWacupuncture.com, or give them a call, 219-395-9928. Got to take a quick break. When we come back, more with Laura after these words right here on All Business Media.
Are you in pain, depressed, anxious, unhappy, low self-esteem holding you back? Let Gail Rayborn help you. She's a catalyst for healing with powerful intuition. A clinical and medical hypnotherapist, she'll work with you by telephone to speed healing from emotional and health challenges. Gail Rayborn offers pre- and post-surgical hypnosis, hypnosis for pain control, cancer, IBS, and other illnesses. You'll connect with inner guides and learn the message behind your health challenge. See Gail on the web at www.telehealing.com or email her gail@telehealing.com or give her a call at 707-827-3615. Your first session is free. All you have to lose is pain.
Do you have a spark to share? Do you have a creative project that you want to pass to others? How will you share it with the world? At Waking the Dream, we educate and transform, fostering personal growth for clients. Our consulting services include personal coaching sessions, chakra energy balancing, intuitive counseling, and meditation instruction. We also handle creative counseling, writing and editing services for businesses, authors, and artists. Waking the Dream can help. Reach out to Kelly Leidick on our website, www.kellyleidick.com, or by email, kelly@kellyleidick.com. Waking the Dream, sparking the creation, fanning the flames, lighting the world. KellyLeidick.com.
All Business Media presents the Professionals Roundtable. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable with Rick Delgado. Exclusively on All Business Media.
And welcome back to All Business Media. And yes, I am your host, Rick Delgado. And again, we're sitting with our guest, Laura Zaransky. She is the owner and medical director of East Wind Acupuncture, a traditional Chinese medicine clinic located in Chesterton, Indiana. EWacupuncture.com, that's E as in East, W as in wind, acupuncture.com is the website, or like I mentioned earlier, 219-395-9928. And again, thank you, Laura, for joining us. She's a bundle of energy, and man, you got a lot of information in that brain of yours, don't you, Laura?
Probably too much, Rick.
You see, you know what? But it's your passion that kind of has probably propelled you guys to where you are right now, where you're kind of leading this. Like I said, I don't think I've ever heard, you know, all these things that can be dealt with. Like, can you work on somebody that maybe has, you know, I don't know, maybe like a mental issues like depression or anxiety and stuff like that?
Oh, man, it's one of the best things that we treat, really, because acupuncture, when you puncture the skin, it does release chemicals, neurochemicals that influence our brain. And what we found through MRIs is that the majority of acupuncture points stimulate the part in the brain called the limbic system, which is where we do register emotion. So I would say that no matter what, even for patients who aren't coming in for a mental emotional disorder, that's one of the very first things that everybody notices. I feel better. I have a better sense of well-being. I feel more stable mentally. I feel up. I'm not as low. When you puncture through the skin, you actually release a little serotonin as well, and that helps the mind. But, you know, most people don't realize that anxiety or stress is one of the leading causes to depression, because when you're under sympathetic stress all the time, we talked about that stomach, right? It's in a calm state.
Yep.
Well, when you're in stress, your stomach shuts off. You don't need to digest food. You actually need to use all the nutrients you have right now. But people don't realize that 85% of our serotonin is made in our small intestine, okay? So if you're in stress day in, day out, you're not making serotonin. You're making lots of cortisol, and the brain is saying, we're under load, we're under stress, and we're never getting these other signals that say, no, we're calm and relaxed. So these are fundamental first stages of things that happen with Chinese medicine and acupuncture, and we help a lot of people with mental emotional disorders, anxiety, bipolar, depression, you know, stress in general, sleeping disorders, you know, all kinds of things. It's a very common thing that we treat here, and even help patients be able to live a drug-free life,
right,
with those. So.
Yeah, and I was going to mention that, because you could avoid the use of a lot of medication when you're doing that, right? Because it seems like, you know, with Western medicine, and I think you'd agree, Laura, that, you know what, it's very reliant on filling prescriptions and medicating people.
Right. That's what their medical system consists of. That's right. And, you know, and the thing is, you know, with Chinese medicine a little bit, like, you know, the drug situation. So I do want to just point out very quickly, because, you know, not all Chinese medical doctors are the same either,
right,
in America, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You might get the Chinese medical doctor who only does work on a little bit of symptoms, makes you feel a little bit better, and then you have to kind of keep seeing them day, you know, year in, year out, because you are just managing a symptom, okay? That's no different than why people typically walk in my door.
Right.
So my practice, and you said my passion and my purpose, I'm sure has propelled my practice, because my purpose is to provide the body back and return the body back to as best as we can, not just manage the symptoms. So we really work at what we call restorative care here in our clinic. We don't just try to manage the symptom, because that's not going to do it. It's already done it. I mean, if the best opioid in the world won't take care of the pain in your body, it's because only your body can take care of your pain. You
right.
need to get your body functioning well. Right?
Yep.
And so we really work at the reversal, so that my patients, when they're done with their care, I don't see them for 2 years, they're still going to be okay. I don't need to manage their symptoms, because they're handled back to a normal state.
Right.
So that is different. I just wanted to point that out, because we are a restorative care clinic, and we work Chinese medicine to the fullest. We aren't just this little come in and feel good. We want that, but we do more than that. And that's part of, I think, where we've gotten our practice up to a higher level of patient care, because that's what we work on, and people want that too. Some people want that. Some people want medication. That's great.
Right.
You know, there are options.
Yeah. And you said you also work with people in terms of their diet as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. Fundamentally, every person I talk to, again, fundamentals, oxygen, water, food. If you're not doing them in that level of importance, you are not actually giving your body the right tools to work with. You know, Rick, I don't even know. I should ask you, how much water do you drink in a day?
You know what? I try to drink a lot. Sometimes I forget, but, you know, I carry around my bottle of water, and, you know, some people here at the office kind of make fun of it. It's like, oh, you're not drinking your water yet? And it's like, no, I am. Don't worry. I'm drinking.
That's good. Average patient says they drink hardly any. None.
Yeah, and I used to be that way. I used to be the, you know, I could put away a 2-liter bottle of Coke in one sitting. Don't really do that anymore. and that was by choice, really. I just kind of stopped. I'm like, all right, I don't really need to do this. But right. for others, you know, let's face it, that maybe they don't have that willpower, and, you know, maybe they need a little help, you know, getting the right dietary assistance, right?
Yeah, absolutely, and I laugh about that a lot, and I'm asking you because, you know, people don't recognize the importance of water. It's actually more important than food. It runs the majority of our electrical systems, and, you know, and you would die second from it over oxygen.
Right.
And so it's really a fundamental importance. And one other quick thing, because I know we're probably going to be wrapping up here very soon, yeah. Rick, but, you know, you asked a little bit about what do we treat, right? And I said we treat the human condition and it goes down.
Right.
Well, you know, people ask me, well, how did I get this way, right? Well, it is improper diet, excessive work, excessive stress, traumatic injuries, and chemical overload, like environmental toxins, like asbestos, right? Or
right.
things like this. These take away from our body's normal physiology. And eventually, like I said, your body is going to potentially lose out if you aren't giving it the things it needs to do their normal job. So we really work at trying to reverse those kind of conditions, but that's how people get there.
Right.
It's too much trauma, too much injuries, too much stress, too long.
Yeah, and it affects every part of the body, especially, you know, like you mentioned, when it comes time to healing. You know, people need to make sure that they're taking care of themselves. And sometimes, you know, sitting back with a bag of chips ain't going to do it. You know?
No, and you know, I just had a patient who has cirrhosis of the liver, and they can't figure out anything, reasons why. The Western medical doctors, we don't know why that happened. You had to take Tylenol. It damaged your liver. No, you know what it was from? From 40 years of diet pop.
From what?
Not joking.
Diet soda?
NutraSweet. NutraSweet. Actually, NutraSweet is a neurotoxin, and it actually damages the liver. And we're absolutely sure that that happened. Now, she's not taking it anymore. She's not there. But she was down to, like, something like 30% of her function left of her liver and created cirrhosis from it. So people don't realize that, you know, what we do every day can become a toxic load. And I say to people, too, even water, a great thing, can be too much. If you drink, probably, what, a couple... 4, 5, 6 gallons of water, you know, you could die from that, right?
Yeah.
So too much of a good thing can be bad, too, but too much of a bad thing can be really bad,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm glad you're not doing that anymore.
Yeah, you know, I probably wouldn't have the healthier lifestyle that I've kind of adopted. And again, our guest has been Laura Zaransky. She's the owner and medical director over at East Wind Acupuncture, traditional Chinese medicine clinic. If you want to find out more about what they do, what they can do to help you, especially with the potential of without the use of drugs or unnecessary surgery, they offer corporate wellness programs, public workshops and screenings, as well as nutritional cleansing and weight loss programs as well. As you could tell, Laura knows her stuff. I think she's been at this for a little while, right?
Yeah.
Make sure to reach out to her, 219-395-9928, or better yet, go to the website, ewacupuncture.com. That's E as in East, W as in Wind, acupuncture.com. And Laura, thank you so much for spending the time with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you for your time, Rick. It really means a lot to me. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And we'll be back with more on All Business Media right after these words.
All Business Media presents the Professionals Roundtable. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable with Rick Delgado. Exclusively on All Business Media.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool.
Oh.
And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed...
6:30 to 90, 10:4.
Could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.